Giving you the gift that gives all year round. The truth about the dental industry. Dr. Shoup is your jolly, happy, somewhat tall guy performing best practices in biomimetic dentistry.
You'd make a great Santa, and that's not a fat joke.
He does not resort to procedures you should never need, like crowns or repeated fillings. Tell Uncle Randy what you really want for Christmas, okay? Lower dental bills and a non-pushy procedure dentist.
It's a Christmas miracle.
Reach out to us at ddsradio.com. This is the Dr. Shoup Show. Now, here's Dr. Randy Shoup.
Well, hello, everybody. It is great to have you here. Thank you very, very much. You know, it is a pleasure and an honor, truly, when you decide to spend time with me. This is where you go to become smarter, more savvy, a better medical, health, dental, nutrition, wellness consumer. I give you all the information you need so that you can navigate your life to your best outcome. So there you have it. And nowhere else on the planet are you going to get the information that you and I are going to share right here. So we start with Dental School 101. Mrs. Jones, you have a crack in your tooth. I know you've all heard that expression before. Does it mean that you have a catastrophic problem? And does it mean that you got to have a crown or a cap on your tooth? Well, I tell you, most places, yes, but I'll tell you, no. And I'll give you the reasons why and how to fix that pesky crack in your tooth. And ask the expert. I have an absolutely amazing guest for you this afternoon. Linda Blackiston. Linda Blackiston is a hygienist. She is also the sales representative for Philips. Those are the great folks that make Sonicare toothbrushes. They do Zoom bleaching procedures, but she has a particular knowledge base. She has a particular personal drive on helping people with opioid addiction and helping dentists and dental teams identify and rescue sex trafficking victims. She's going to be on live with us talking about how dentists and dentistry can make huge inroads, can be very, very beneficial at fighting those two major scourges on our society. You know, but first, we have huge problems with antibiotic-resistant bacteria. And you and I all know that we shouldn't take antibiotics frivolously and we shouldn't take them incorrectly. Would you like to know that your antibiotic resistance happened way before dentists and doctors started prescribing antibiotics, and it began with a cow? I'm going to tell you all about it right now.
Time to go under the microscope.
Where does that tremendous knowledge and energy all come from?
Well, you and I have talked about it numerous times that our United States entire population and the population of the world is having a huge problem in that we are developing more and more bacteria that are more and more resistant to our antibiotics. We have certain bacteria, MRSA for one, but that's not the only one anymore. Used to be, but not anymore. That are absolutely resistant. They laugh at, they eat, they pick their teeth with about any of the normal antibiotics that we throw at them. Virtually, absolutely, totally worthless. It's as well as taking a sugar pill as opposed to taking the antibiotics. These bacteria are becoming so virulent, so mean, so strong that we have a scant one or two last resort antibiotics that are left that are not available to the general public. You have to be hospitalized. You have to go through an infectious disease review board before they will allow these last resort antibiotics to be used, because if we start developing resistance to these antibiotics, we are absolutely up the proverbial creek without a paddle. Where did this all start? I'll tell you. Well before any physician started prescribing routinely antibiotics to humans. It started in the veterinary world. It started in food production across the United States and across Northern Europe, where we started to have to raise cows and chickens so much quicker because the demand for the meat was increasing exponentially, particularly after World War II, after the Korean War. I mean, there was an explosion of people. These are the baby boomers. Cows are normally supposed to eat grass. Cows walk around and they are a ruminant. They ruminate. They eat grass. It goes to one of five stomachs. They regurgitate a cud. They chew it. It goes back to the stomach because grass is incredibly difficult to break down, and the cows grow slowly. They needed to grow them quicker. So what did they start doing? Let's feed the cows corn. They love corn, sugary tasting to the cow, and the cows will grow much faster. The problem is you feed a cow corn, that corn hits their stomach, it gets broken down like the grass gets broken down, and it causes massive amounts of gas buildup. It's just like cooking beer in your basement or making your own wine. The yeast, the bacteria that breaks the stuff down produces gas. That's where the little bubbles happen. So these cows would get absolutely horrific stomach infections. And so they started pumping the cows full of antibiotics in order to pump the cows full of corn so that the corn didn't kill the cow. So they pumped the cows full of antibiotics so that the cows could eat massive amounts of corn so that the cows could grow faster and go to market. So the meat you wound up eating from these cows was loaded with antibiotics. That is where the science right now indicates that your antibiotic resistance has come from. Bacterial resistance to the antibiotic ampicillin may have begun years before doctors started prescribing it. This brand new study suggests ampicillin, a broad-spectrum penicillin, is widely used to treat many bacterial infections, including bladder and ear infections, pneumonia, and gonorrhea. Resistance was likely triggered by the overuse of penicillin in livestock in North America and Europe in the 1950s, according to the research from the Pasteur Institute in Paris. Ampicillin was released onto the market for human consumption in 1961. Our findings suggest that antibiotic resistance in farming environments such as soil, wastewater, and manure may have a much greater impact on the spread of the resistance than previously thought. This is from Francois Xavier, and he is a researcher at the Pasteur Institute. There are expected to be 10 million people die. 10 million with an M, million people die in the year 2050 simply because they get an infection and there is no antibiotic that will cure it. This was in the November 29th issue of the Lancet Infectious Diseases. So you and I have to be incredibly vigilant. Happens with chickens too. They actually bathe chicken eggs in antibiotics. They actually inject chicks with antibiotics as they're first born, and they actually inject chickens with antibiotics as they grow into being. So chickens and beef have massive amounts of inherent antibiotics put into the food system. So we have to be very vigilant, and a lot of companies now are starting to take these antibiotic products out. But I will tell you, it will not come out of the cow food chain, because in order to grow cows fast enough, in order to get them fat enough and get them ready for market, they have to feed them corn and they have to pump them full of antibiotics or the cows are going to die. So it's going to be a huge problem for you and I to surmount. So there you have it. Now up next, excuse me, Mr. Jones, your tooth has a crack in it. Are you doomed? Maybe not. I'll tell you about it right after this.
You're listening to the Dr. Shoup Show.
Exclusive insider info, audio, and video is online now at DTSradio.com. Merry Christmas from your team at Microscope Dentistry by Shoup. We're treating patients in a way traditional dentists simply cannot match.
As a Christmas gift for you.
So, you want a new car for Christmas? How about a lump of coal? Well, we're not giving away cars, but I think you get the point. Don't settle for traditional and unneeded procedures. Experience holistic dentistry. Start at DDSradio.com. Then sit down with a doc. This is the Dr. Shoup Show. Now, here's Dr. Randy Shoup.
We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas.
Well, you all know this is the Christmas season, and you're going to go to parties and eat all kinds of goodies and little crunchy things, and this is the time we always get telephone calls. I have broken a piece of my tooth off. Can you get me in to fix it? Or you've gone to the dentist recently, and he's looked at your teeth and said, oh my gosh, there is a crack in one of your teeth or a crack around one of your fillings. You have to have or a crown or a cap put on this tooth because it has a crack in it. I am here to tell you that that is a false and erroneous assumption on anybody's part that says a crack in your tooth absolutely positively dictates that you have a crown or a cap. I'll tell you, it is common for us to remove old mercury silver fillings out of your teeth, and underneath the filling, down in the tooth structure, it looks like a road map of downtown Los Angeles. There are little cracks branching off, connecting, turning corners, turning right. It is riddled with fractures. We see this most of the time. You and I know that I'm part of a research group that tests and is working on cracks and fractures in teeth. And we have this gadget that can actually read and look for fractures in teeth, tells us how big the crack is, how active it is, basically where it is in the tooth. And when people have those conditions, certainly if you don't treat it correctly, you will break pieces of teeth. You will have high likelihood of needing root canals and so forth. But there is a product, and this falls under the category of what was old is now new again. This product has been around a long time. It's a product called Ribbond, R-I-B-B-O-N-D. And it is a cousin to a Kevlar fiber. It's woven into what looks like the shoelace out of a Converse All-Star basketball shoe. You know, it's kind of whitish color. It's woven. It stretches all different directions. That's what this stuff does. And what we do is there is a specific technique that we can take this Ribbond material and bond it, fuse it to the bottom inside of your tooth over top of those fractures. And it virtually kind of knits or welds or protects those cracks from propagating any further. We know that whatever forces were at play on the top of your tooth when you were eating and chewing, and because the forces of a mercury silver filling exerts internally on your teeth, those forces have to be fixed because your tooth will continue to crack. So we, number one, take the old mercury silver filling out, which removes massive amounts of stress that is being exerted on the inside of your tooth. Number two is that we then go in with this Ribbond, R-I-B-B-O-N-D, Ribbond material, and push it down and mold it over top of the fractures. We then bond it to the bottom of your tooth, and then we use tooth-colored composite material to reform the core, the inside of your tooth. Our goal is to duplicate what Mother Nature had and to add a protective barrier, the Ribbond, so that if your tooth wants to crack in the future, the crack will try to get down past the Ribbond, won't be able to. The fracture will be deflected off to the side, and you won't create a catastrophic failure of your tooth. Now, most dentists have at least heard of this. So if you are in your dentist's office and they say you have a fracture in your tooth and you have to have a crown done on your tooth, I would suggest you raise your hand and go, "Doc, can we talk about possibly using some ribbond material down inside of there to help, not reinforce, but to help protect those fractures and do something more conservative like an inlay or an onlay rather than doing a crown?" If your dentist goes, "You know, that's a really good idea. I wish I had thought about that." Yes, that'll work just fine. You are probably in a great place. If the dentist says, "Gosh, you know, I don't know much about that, and I really don't know what that technique is," then tell them all you have to do is call Uncle Randy and go up to his office, and he will teach you how to do this ribbon technique. And all of that is true. I absolutely positively love to share what I know with other dentists, and I won't charge them a penny for coming up and letting me teach them how to do it. They can go back to the office and they can fix your tooth. If your dentist says, "All that stuff doesn't work. Oh, you have to have a crown. Oh, I know that Randy Shoup guy. He's just full of hot air. Oh, that ribbon stuff doesn't work." I always love it when dentists say, "This stuff doesn't work." It just makes me insane when they don't know what they're talking about, and then they tell you that what they don't know what they're talking about doesn't work. That's just brilliant to me. I just love that. If that's the response you get, "Oh, it doesn't work. Oh, that's not what you need. Oh, you have to have a crown on your tooth," then you get to choose between sitting there and having your tooth ground down to a little nub, or telling the dentist, "Do you know, I think I'm going to wait. I think I'm going to think about this, and I may get a second opinion, and thank you very much." That's when then you truck yourself up to Microscope Dentistry by Shoup, and we will fix it with the ribbon material. So if your dentist knows how to do the ribbon stuff and just doesn't think about it, you're in a good place. If the dentist says, "You know, I've heard about this, but I don't know how to do it," they come up to me, I teach them, they come back, then they fix your tooth, you're in a good place. And if the third scenario plays out where, you know, they don't know, this stuff doesn't work, the dingo ate my baby and the dog ate my homework, then you probably aren't in the right place to save your tooth. Now, up next, I am absolutely thrilled. You are going to love this. We have Linda Blackenston with us, and she is going to tell you some absolutely fantastic, amazing, horrific things about sex trafficking, how dentists and dentistry can help fight this scourge on society. Hang in there. She's going to be up right after this.
You're listening to the Dr. Shoup Show. Exclusive insider info, audio, and video is online now at dtsradio.com. Are you tired of going through the motions with your current dentist?
Bah humbug to you too.
Why do they keep telling you crowns are the only answer? Do you really need drilling? Time to receive a lifelong Christmas present from your Uncle Randy.
For me? You shouldn't have.
Find out why patients are switching to Microscope Dentistry by Shoup every month. Believe me, it's time to talk so we can bring you some more cheer. We're online at ddsradio.com. This is the Dr. Shoup Show. Now, here's Dr. Randy Shoup.
Run, run, Rudolph. Santa's got to make it to town. Santa, make him hurry. Tell him he can take the freeway down.
Well, hello, everybody. It is great to have you here. You know that I bring you absolutely the information you can't get anywhere else, and I am absolutely thrilled to have as my guest Linda Blackiston. And Linda is a representative of the Philips company. You know them as Sonicare toothbrushes and Zoom bleaching and tooth whitening, but she also is a very, very accomplished lecturer and presenter, and one of the topics that is absolutely near and dear to her heart is the scourge of human sex trafficking in the United States. Linda, it is an absolute pleasure and an honor to have you here. Thank you very, very much.
Well, it's my honor to be part of your program today. Thank you for inviting me.
Oh, it's my pleasure. My hygienist, Sharon, went to a seminar where you were presenting, came back to me, and she said, you have to call this woman and get her on your program. The information she has is so important, and it is a topic that we really don't think about much so close to home, in that there are really large amounts of people that are pushed into the sex trade industry that are against their will. They're sex trafficked around the United States. Tell my listeners, you know, who are these people? How old are they? Where do they come from? We all think it's all the other people, but it's in our backyard, isn't it?
It absolutely is. Human sex trafficking happens in all 50 states of the United States. It happens in almost all communities, and it impacts our young teenagers. The average age for a child to be trafficked is between the ages of 11 and 14. So, I mean, when we hear that, we think, how could that possibly be? But these predators are online, and they are looking for vulnerable teenagers or children, and they're very adept at what they do, looking for vulnerable children.
So you mentioned something here in that these kids are online. So how much does the technology of today, how much does social media, how much of a doorway or a portal do these predators have into everyone's home via social media?
Oh, it's huge. The traffickers cruise social media, and they look for vulnerable teenagers. And what we have seen with teenagers is that they're willing to share personal information online with people. Teenagers are also, they're willing to accept friend requests from people they don't even know. And that just opens the door for these predators. These predators will go online, and they'll put in zip codes and search out children in a particular zip code. They will follow and see what children are doing, you know, where they're hanging out, and then they'll go and hang out in those popular spots where teenagers are, you know, congregating, and then these predators become the teenager's friend. They might buy them gifts. They might offer them an escape, maybe from strict parents, or maybe a terrible home life. And then these predators spend months grooming a victim.
You're listening to the Dr. Randy Shoup Show, and I am your host, Dr. Randy Shoup, and I have Linda Blackiston on with me, dental hygienist and representative of the Phillips Company, talking about human sex trafficking. And it would seem odd that you would, a dental hygienist, and here I am, a dentist, we would be talking about this subject, but it is common that these kids who get, abducted to some degree and conscripted here, they oftentimes wind up in a dental office. And how would a dentist, what clues would a dental professional look for? What clues would a parent look for, or somebody standing in the mall? How do you identify somebody that is engaged? And it's important to note there, it's probably a majority girls that are trafficked, but boys get trafficked too, I believe.
That is correct. The majority of victims are girls, but yes, boys are absolutely victims of human sex trafficking. Yes. In a dental office, what we might see is that a person would bring a victim into the dental office, and perhaps the victim has an abscess, or they have an emergency, and this person, the trafficker, would bring the victim in and want us to just fix whatever is wrong. They may have other dental needs, but the trafficker is only focused on getting the emergency taken care of. The trafficker typically isn't going to pay with a credit card or isn't going to have any dental insurance. I think a big red flag for us in dentistry is somebody that wants to come in and just pay cash for dental work. Okay, this is what needs to be done. Please do that service, and then I'm going to pay you in cash. Also, what we see is the victims of human trafficking that are brought into a dental office, they usually can't speak for themselves. The trafficker doesn't want to leave them alone in the operatory with us, so they will speak for the victim. Also, we see traffickers bring victims into the dental office so that we can make them look pretty. And so all they care about are the aesthetics. They may only care about what the front teeth, the appearance of the front teeth. So those are some things that I think would be red flags for us in the dental office. As far as out in the community, people want to look for maybe a business that is open odd hours. You have maybe it's a massage parlor or a nail business, or it could even be a tax business, but they're open very odd hours. They're open more late in the evening, or they have their windows blacked out, which wouldn't be normal for a business. And you see a lot of, you know, maybe male people, or a lot of male a lot of men going into the business, and you're like, oh, what's going on here? We had a victim who was rescued from trafficking, and a neighbor called the police and said, I think you might be selling drugs at the house down the street. I see cars going in and out all different times of the day. And when the police went in, they found that it wasn't drugs that were being sold in the house. It was humans that were being sold in the house. And so we need to keep our eyes open.
You know, as a dad of three daughters, it just makes my blood run cold because, I watched the movie Taken. And, you know, that took place, obviously, in Paris, and, you know, in Europe, and then the subsequent, you know, episodes of that movie. But you just don't imagine that things can happen. But here in the United States, through social media, you know, they will entice or lure children and their children out. And do they literally abduct them, or are the children to some degree complicit because they're looking for an escape? I mean, tell me how. I mean, it's hard for me to get my brain wrapped around the concept of some little 11, 12, 13, 14-year-old boy or girl being sold like that, being held. It's just amazing to me.
Mm-hmm. Well, there are different techniques that traffickers will use. One technique that they use is the grooming technique, and they'll get to know this teenager or child. And, you know, maybe they meet them at the mall or they meet them at a sporting event and they kind of make friends with the child. Maybe they bring them gifts, buy them food, talk to them about what's going on in their life, get to know the child. And then, you know, they'll say, oh, well, why don't you? They could invite them over to their house. And we've had young girls that, you know, would go freely with the trafficker because they thought, well, there's nothing wrong. They're being nice to me. And then the trafficker will turn and say, okay, I've done all these nice things for you, and so now what you're going to do as a favor to me is you're going to have sex with my friend. And then, oh, wait, and now it's going to be two friends. Oh, now it's 10. Oh, wait, and you don't want to leave me because if you go back home and tell your parents what you've done, they certainly won't want you anymore. And so it starts out that they groom them with, you know, giving them gifts and building trust. And then it moves to, okay, now this is what you're going to do for me. There are other techniques. There's one technique that the traffickers called the gorilla kind of way of grooming, and that is through, you know, beating and starvation. You know, they abduct the child, and then the child does exactly what they're told because they're so afraid not to do what they're told. So it's very scary to think about what our children are exposed to online. I mean, these predators are just out there trolling for our children. And not only are the traffickers looking online, but that's also one of the ways that they sell the children is online. And there's different sites where people go to and they connect with this trafficker, and he'll say, meet me at this hotel, and people show up and children are sold. It is a very scary topic.
You're listening to the Dr. Randy Shoup Show. I'm your host, Dr. Randy Shoup, and we're talking about an incredibly gut-wrenching and awful subject in that human trafficking in the United States. And we have Linda Blackiston with us, and she is a representative of the Phillips Company. And it really is commendable that Phillips, with their social awareness and certainly with their Samaritan sort of an attitude, allows you to do this. Because this really, by a lot of definitions, doesn't have a lot to do with toothbrushes and toothpaste and bleaching teeth and oral care. It's wonderful that they allow you to get this message out. It's really, really unique and commendable.
I agree. I'm proud to work for Phillips. And you're right. They make the Sonicare toothbrush, and they make Zoom whitening. And when I'm teaching my course on for teenagers, and you know, we're talking about all the poor choices that teenagers can make, and human trafficking is one of those topics that we talk about. It doesn't have anything to do with a power toothbrush, but Phillips is one of those companies that they want to improve people's lives. And one of the ways that you improve people's lives is through education. And so I love the fact that they let me talk about this topic. Of course, I have to talk about power toothbrushes sometimes too.
Well, of course,
other courses I teach, but this is one of the ones that. You know, we talk about a wide variety of topics in this teenager's course that I teach.
Well, as we're wrapping things up here, because I have taken up way too much of your time, and I really appreciate it. If you, I'm a dad with three daughters. They're all grown at this stage of the game. Mm. But if somebody is listening and they have grandchildren that are of this age group of, you know, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14 years old, boys or girls, what should a parent do? How should a parent be vigilant? What should a parent insist upon or not allow that would, in your estimation, significantly minimize the chance or the opportunity that this young child could get victimized by a sex trafficker?
I think one of the biggest things is to sit down and talk to our children about this. We don't want to scare them, but we do want them to know that there are people out there that that will harm them. I would say monitoring their where they're going online, who they're talking to online. I know that my youngest daughter has a daughter, and anytime my granddaughter goes online or sends a text message, my daughter can view it. And I thought that's perfect. That's exactly how we should be monitoring our children and our teenagers. We need to know who they're talking to online. We need to know the sites that they're going to, and we need to teach them that there are predators out there, and that they can't always trust everyone. Which I think is sad that we've gotten to that place in our life. But again, education and talking to our teenagers is huge.
Well, this is certainly one of those things where an ounce of prevention is worth a ton of cure. It's certainly much better to prevent this than have to try to rescue your children, A, find them, and then B, be in a position where you can rescue them, and then C, be in a position where you can hopefully try to at least unravel some of the horrific damage that would be done that would be lifelong. And so, again, Linda, I thank you very, very much for being with us. This is not going to be our first conversation. If you don't mind, let me tap into you as a resource again, and we'll spend more time on the other topics that you present about. But thank you for sharing this information. Thank you for being on the program. And it's vitally important parents tap into this and understand what's going on. So thank you very, very much.
Well, thank you. I do appreciate the information the opportunity to speak on this topic. This is one of the topics I'm passionate about. It's grandkids and this and oral health care. Those are the three topics that I love to talk about. So anytime you want to invite me back, I'd love to come back.
You do it so well. So there is Linda Blackiston, and she is the Phillips representative and an absolute great champion for children everywhere. Thank you very, very much.
Well, thank you. Take care.
All right. Bye-bye. Up next, you get to meet my good friend Julianne. As a child, she was plagued with massive dental problems, and as an adult, she was sure she was going to lose all of her teeth. Guess what? Uncle Randy came to the rescue. She's going to tell you all about it right after this.
You're listening to the Dr. Shoup Show. Exclusive insider info, audio, and video is online now at dtsradio.com. Ever open that present that made you scream with excitement or maybe brought tears of joy?
It's 100% Italian cashmere and light as a feather.
God, I love it. It's a cashmiracle.
You wouldn't think a dentist could do that. But hey, Microscope Dentistry by Shoup is really different. Patients' lives are changing every day. Say no to repeated high dental bills. Say yes to life-changing dental and whole body health by starting a conversation with us today at ddsradio.com. And by the way, thanks for listening to the Dr. Shoup Show. Here's Dr. Randy Shoup.
Frosty the Snowman was a jolly, happy soul.
Excited about you all getting a chance to meet my good friend, Julianne. Julianne, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing just great today. How are you?
Oh, I'm just fine. Thank you very much. My listeners will soon learn that, Julianne and I, she'll call me Randy, I'll call her Julianne, because we were trying to calculate up, and what was the best number we came to?
Well, why don't we just say in excess of 25 years?
Okay, that's close enough. Yeah, we don't want to pile it on and make it any worse than it is. But
let me put it this way. I do have his cell phone number. So.
That's right, and you're more than welcome to use it at any time. It's okay. It's okay. Yeah, your children were little people when we first got together. My gosh, they're grown up adults and all that kind of good stuff.
Have jobs, and that's right, making a living.
And then
don't forget my husband. He's also.
Isn't that nice when they grow up and have jobs and go away?
Oh, it's wonderful. I feel like you've done your work, right?
Yeah, our task here has been completed, so
that's
good. Well, one of the things that I want my listeners to understand is that when you grew up, you did not grow up in the best dental care environment, and when you became an adult, you came into adulthood with a significant amount of dental issues. And so give my listeners a kind of a sense of where you came from, and with your dental life.
Yeah. When I was growing up, dental hygiene was really not top of my family's list. I come from immigrant family, and I'm not saying that that's the case everywhere, but it just happened to be the case for us. And I don't know if it's bad genes or focus, but when I became an adult and looking for work and going to school, I wanted my appearance, my teeth to look good, and I can't tell you how many root canals I've had. I mean, just my teeth were in pretty bad shape. And the one thing that I liked about Randy right from the very beginning is that even though I was feeling awful about the situation and the work that needed to be done, neither he nor anyone on his staff ever made me feel like I was a bad person and shame on you for not having done this, that, and whatever, and how could you have let this happen. none of those feelings ever entered into my mind when I was in the office. So I thank you for that.
Well, you're welcome. And you had told me that other dentists did. I mean, other dentists had kind of chastised
you. Oh, yeah. I mean, I've had a situation where, you know, I had a problem with a tooth, and so I lay back, and the dentist looks in my mouth, and what you don't like to hear is somebody gasp. You go, oh.
Oh, no.
Something like that. It's not good.
It's not a good relationship starter.
No.
Oh, that's for sure. And so over the years, you and I have done several things together, and I want my listeners to understand. I mean, she talks about her, you know, originally coming in as an immigrant and so forth. This is an incredibly capable and incredibly successful, highly educated woman who is in the public eye all the time and has very, very important job. And her health, her appearance, all of those things are really crucial and very important to her success. And so we had to, it was important to get her dentally in a position that was commensurate, you know, on par with your education and with your job and with everything else. And you've, I wanted to let everybody know, you have hung in there like an absolute champ over the years. Over the years, you have been an absolutely outstanding, durable patient, because you're right, we had a lot of ground to kind of retread.
Well, I mean, what we did was we developed a game plan, and you don't do everything all at one time.
Sure.
And the game plan changes as situations arise with your teeth,
yep,
demanding maybe you make something more a priority than it otherwise would have been. And I think that's one valuable tool that you have, is that you do have an overall game plan, and you want what you want, and have an idea of how things are supposed to look at the very end. So that's why it works.
Yeah, it's an old adage that I've, you know, from the old Steve Covey, Seven Habits of Highly Effective People, begin with the end in mind. And it, you're right, it works so much better if you and I sat down and you and I mapped out a game plan. Where do we want to go? What do we want to do? And we did this 20-some years ago. And so we just stayed to the plan. And ultimately, now at this stage of the game, you're all done. And I will tell you, she's an incredibly attractive woman, and she has an absolutely killer smile. So congratulations.
Yeah, it just looks good. It feels good.
Oh, I'm glad. And so so if somebody were in an office that continually berates them, or if they're in an office and every time they go in, there's something else that needs to be done without really a particular focus or drive, you could be someone that would say, hey, listen, there's a different way of doing this.
Well, the other thing I want to add is that there are always options. I mean, you are so good at saying, well, here are your choices. You can do this or you can do this, and here's the result of that. And so you have options on how to get to the end, which is also pretty valuable. And this is also, and always has been, an office that's very accommodating of my schedule. It's very difficult to do some extensive dental work without somebody on the other side doing what you've done for my schedule. So I appreciate that.
Oh, you're welcome. Because, yes, I mean, this is a very, very busy lady, and she has, you know, she has people she has to take care of as well. And so we've always been, you know, it's always been a pleasure to accommodate our schedule to help you with yours. And that's why we're there. So, hey, listen, I've taken up enough of your time. I thank you very, very much for spending a few minutes here and helping, tell your story and helping folks. Maybe somebody out there, it resonates that, you know, they're not feeling real terrific where they are, and so they might want to go look around and find something different.
Right. Well, thanks for giving me the opportunity. I think you're really one of a kind. So. Thank you.
Well, I appreciate that a lot. Julianne, I'll let you go. Thank you.
Okie doke. Thank you.
Well, there you have it. I absolutely know that you have a mind full of thoughts to think about, thanks to Linda. It is absolutely amazing. It is horrific to even have to contemplate the whole concept of sex trafficking in the United States, anywhere for that matter. But it is brings it so close to home, and we have to realize how vigilant we have to be with this massive, huge door that is open into our homes that we call the internet, that we call social media. It is like having a giant sliding glass door that just opens up and anybody can walk into your home no matter what their intention, no matter how nefarious they are, no matter how evil they are. So be careful, please. Be mindful. And we are ready to launch our next mission trip, so be sure to go to ddsradio.com and find out all the details. So, until you and I have a chance to chat next time, be sure to brush and floss.
Keep on smiling, 'cause